Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Everybody, welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Hump Day, everybody. As you all know, we have lost one hell of a legend, an activist, an actress, a poetess, a wonderful human being, a community passionate person, definitely a person trying to empower our community as an African American people. I'm speaking about none other than Maya Angelou. Definitely a great loss to the world on a whole, and definitely on a regal scale for the Black American community. So with that being said, I would like to take just a moment to be silent in her honor before I continue on. God rest you in heaven, Miss Angelou. You've been nothing but a wonderful contribution to all of us. You've touched us all in some point. Okay, thanking the Lord for another day of being here. To our consultant, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York City with the best of live R&B events as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. And you can catch up with Barry right here on Facebook and on his website, trackoneentertainment.web.com, and you can find out everything you need to know about his latest events. Everybody who deals with him knows that once you go there, you don't leave. I'm empty-handed. To my team, Lady Diamond Elaine Yeves, wishing her a recovery. Get back here and join the mix. To Monster Miles, DJ Domerick of Rodney Williams, and of course our awesome panelists and activists out in Toledo, Ohio, Deacon Zeddy Williams. Thank you guys for being one hell of a team in the corner and having the girls back at all times. To my starting panelists, Patrick Irvine, Al-Tariq Atkins, Stalo Jenkins, Professor Carlton Jones, to my wonderful favorite twins, Darlene and Arlene, and to Tylon Washington, who has not been with us lately on the panel, but is consistently following and participating behind the scenes and on the website chat. So I want to thank you all for being in my corner and being never-ending supporters. Over to my social media clan. Hey, guys. I want to say thank you first to our wonderful sponsor tonight, Mr. Mark Pittman and his two groups, the Real World Black News and Discussions Group, to the Black History Suppressed Group, to Linda Miller, and the Black Love and Conversations Group. You guys were definitely very active on the pre-broadcast discussion today. And my newest and latest addition, the Urban Intellectuals with Mr. Patrick Irvine. I want to thank Professor Carlton Jones and the What About Us group, to my personal group, the On the Edge Listeners Lounge, you wonderful bunch of people, you, to the Black Mamba group, and the Capitalist End group with Marvin Young. I want to thank every one of you for being who you are and for helping me get this far along with understanding how the community thinks and what all of you are thinking about the topics that we discuss on a nightly basis. To all of you that have been involved with the pre-broadcast discussion, we are speaking tonight on the topic, deflecting from the elephant in the room of Black America. We are starting and basing the topic tonight on two articles that were released out onto the social media, and that was one that spoke about a white franchisee owner under the Arby's brand name that was approved for a whites-only establishment. He actually was said that he was opening a white-only establishment and was approved by the Business Coalition or whatever, State of America. And then there was a follow-up one where there was an African-American who happened to have won or got lucky with ownership of a $300,000 home for only the price of $16, and it was later stated that his Caucasian neighbors who don't like him or didn't like what took place for him were angry enough to try to get rid of him out of the neighborhood or to stop the action or whatever it was. Follow-up article stated that this man was ultimately evicted from his home. And what I would like to say off that is they're both fake. Why was I bringing out the topic in the form of as if it was true? I will let you know right after the break, so don't go away. Tonight we're going to be graced with the pre-discussion song by the group Allure, and it's called Butterflies. After them and a word from our sponsors, I'll be back to get this party started, okay? Don't go away. Keep it locked right here with Katie.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett. This is the Lifeline segment, and we are going to get started with tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is deflecting from the elephant in the room of America. We all know what that term means. Elephant in the room means that there's something uncomfortable that's right, obviously, sitting in your face, and you try to do everything in your power to avoid it. Okay, so with that being said, I posted two articles today, and one of them I use as our pre-broadcast discussion tonight. I didn't post the article because I'm going to be promoting it by any means necessary because of the fact that it's a bogus article. I posted it because I wanted to see what the feedback would be. I wanted to see what was being said, how people thought of it, what about the article was observed, because there's a bigger fish in the sea at this moment to deal with, and there's definitely an elephant in the room of the black community. We have spoken about it 1,000,010 times, as I like to say, on the show, and I believe that tonight is the night we really, those of you listening, if you haven't gotten it, if this has passed your mind, the things that I'm going to bring up and relate to these articles, I really need for all of you to listen, really open up your eyes and your ears, take notes if you have to, and let's start to make a difference, because this plan in motion to annihilate us pretty much is serious, it's real, it's right there, and we have got to get it together. Now let's get started. Satirical articles, the media's wonderful way of getting attention. They will come up with things like a celebrity died, and the celebrity is alive and well. Everybody is buzzing about it. Everybody is walking around and, oh, my God, did you hear? Did you hear this? Did you hear that? Or the opposite, the celebrity who everybody believes to be dead, that these articles say they're not dead. Okay, well, that's one thing. Stories of death, political shock, revolutions, meltdowns. Okay, this is all the type of things that these articles come out with. Now, let's take a look at what happens when human nature, we see these articles, and this is the cycle. First, somebody posts it, usually on social media. After that, start to reply to it. Either the shock value of it is something to get started. So we have people talking about the actual article because the article was first posted. After that, you have other people that's answering the first responder and joining the conversation, and then after that, we find out it's a hoax. Then there's a conversation about that. notice the time frame. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Okay. Usually by the time we get into these long drawn conversations about these articles, we wind up turning on each other because somebody said a viewpoint that somebody else thought was stupid, or somebody attacked a person for saying something that sounded a little off to them. And before you know it, the posts are off the actual topic and we're turning on each other. Now that dies down, we're going to talk about the fact that it's a hoax. Okay? Now it's a hoax. And the cycle continues. But then now, we relax because now it's a hoax. Now the conversation's over. Now, ooh, let's just wipe the sweat off our brow. For the Black American community, that is just not a luxury we are afforded. Okay? Because one of the things that we have spoken about is the media uses our Black success people, which for us, our two biggest forms of success, as we have spoken about in previous segments, is either an athlete or a music artist, hip-hop in particular. That's usually how the Black community can associate success, not because there are other people out there who are doing a lot more for the community, but because what you see on the front page is rarely that wonderful lawyer that's out there helping kids stay straight or getting our men and women out of jail. Not because there's a Black community business owner that's out there trying to give back to the community he was born and raised in, or that his grandfather or great-grandfather had owned the facility that they own, but because we're not celebrated that way. Okay? We're not celebrated that way. So now, all we lately have been reduced to is either giving into some form of what Hollywood wants us to be, which they won't give us a shot at that unless we are defaming ourselves or degrading ourselves, or pretty much we are out there selling ourselves off for the highest extra zero we haven't seen in our checks, because pretty much the dominant society is making sure we don't get any further. So that's one. So now, let's talk about how satirical articles get us drawn in. First of all, people who write satirical articles are, in my mind, called junk journalists, because they put out something that they know is absolutely untrue, unprovable, not researched at all. It's a lie. They want to get out there and see the shock value of it all, because everybody loves a good controversy. So we start with that. Everybody runs around like headless chickens when we read these articles, and like I said, we get into these long, drawn-out discussions. All right? Let's start with the first story that I mentioned today, the Arby's franchise story. Okay? It was stated in this article that the person who bought a piece of the franchise of this brand name company had fought tooth and nail to get his establishment to be a whites-only service industry. Now, according to the article, and it was, we hope they seem to cover themselves pretty good when they said that, of course, it was unanimously denied. But, however, they found a loophole in the business laws and essentially said that pretty much we are trying to go under a private establishment who can be picky or choose the people that we choose to serve to, or that we are aiming to serve to. So with that being said, according to this article, this was, let's say, granted because there was a loophole, quote, end quote. And the second article was about a Black man who won a $300,000 valued house in Texas, and he only paid $16 for it. The article stated that his Caucasian neighbors were outraged about this, and shortly after that, a follow-up article spoke of the man being evicted from his home. Again, we did our little vicious cycle thing. We went all around the web and spoke with our friends and voiced our outrage and did all that we were supposed to do, took up precious time, only to find out these things are hoaxes, right? Well, that's the plan. You use the newest weapon, which is a satirical article, to be the dummy distraction. Let me try to break this down a little bit more simply. Imagine you're watching one of those shoot 'em up movies, and the premise is about two bank robbers. They are good at what they do. They rob banks smoothly. They get away with it. There's been millions of dollars taken from these facilities. And the way it works is their MO is they walk in like two separate customers of the bank, but they're really partners. They pretend they don't know each other. One person goes in and causes a scene while the other person goes in and gets the merchandise and jets off. Then they both go off into the sunset, ride off in their cars or whatever. Well, that's pretty much what this entire society now is doing. First it was our black icons, then it was killing off our black men, then it's going after our children, then it's robbing us of proper education, then it's robbing us of housing assistance, then it's raising the bar on getting public assistance, then it's raising the bars higher than that to get public assistance by eliminating the men of the household in order to qualify. So while we are being distracted by the dummy distractions, it's their way of saying, see, we studied them. We know exactly what they're going to do. This is how it's going to happen. We're going to send this out. They're going to spend all this time being on Facebook, being on Twitter, being on Instagram, speaking about this. And while they're doing that, we're going to continue this guided missile attack that we have. And we're going to take away their properties. We're going to limit even further any type of financial assistance. We're going to annihilate any type of power base that they can have. All right? Because this is what happens, ladies and gentlemen. While we are busy speaking amongst ourselves about something we eventually find out is a hoax, this is the first thing that goes down. While the actual article about the Arby's owner wasn't true, the content in itself is very real and alive. Okay? The content in itself, which is where the first failure we do to ourselves happens. There are many of the Caucasian people or other cultures out there trying to stop African Americans from being allowed, welcome, successful. So, yes, the Arby's specific article was a hoax, but the content is very real. Let's speak about this. While the man who won the $300,000 house for $16 may have been a hoax, tell me if the actual content of that is not alive and kicking today. Yes, while these two things are not true, let's talk about what is in the background. You know, slipping us a Mickey, as one of my favorite panelists had said in a previous conversation. The Arby story was a hoax, but black history was truly removed from the textbooks of Arizona schools in Phoenix. The article is a fake, but the Voters' Rights Act of 1965, the two key parts that actually did protect us from those particular southern states that are pro-slavery at the time and still decided that they wanted to be segregated, was horribly altered to remove it. Why? And what they said was that back in those days, that law was created because of the fact that there were conditions that existed then that do not exist today. Now, those of you who know the whole history about why the Voters' Rights Act of 1965 even came into play was because something even leading up to an historical event in Selma, Alabama, called the Bloody Sunday, where black people decided to line up and register to vote, and there was an officer that shot the leader of this, which in turn prompted Martin Luther King Jr. to lead a protest, which led to people in that protest being beaten horribly by billy clubs from racist law enforcement officials. But eventually, we got the right to vote. So now, the Supreme Court has ruled that, you know what? They don't really need that protection nowadays because people just aren't racist anymore, in a nutshell. Really? Really? They don't need that protection anymore. We don't need to have those states clear with us any further if there's going to be any changes that particular state would like to make in voting protocol. No, they're not going to make any bad changes. Of course not. We're going to welcome everybody with open arms, even though we fought so hard to keep them out of our neighborhoods, keep them from having a voice. That's one. Let's go to yet another modern-day change that is made, and tell me, those of you that know the situation, exactly who this is going to affect. Now the Supreme Court has further did something that's going to be a problem for us. And what that is they've altered the ways police can now search your home. If there's a call of a disturbance or a reasonable belief that there's a disturbance in progress in someone's household, they no longer need both heads of household permission. Only one can say that. Now, what happens when they get that first foot in the door? They're going to go in there for a domestic violence call and start looking around for other paraphernalia. They're going to say, I can arrest this man for suspicion of the first call, and since he's out of the way, I can have reasonable permission to go in and search for other things. So that's another thing. Let's go to a couple of more things, and I see you, panelists. I'll bring you in just a second. The point of tonight's broadcast was to bring some key factors on an urgent basis to all of you. Some things that I'm going to say is going to be reflecting on what we ourselves need to do. Those of you who the shoes don't fit, please don't pick them up and wear them, because then you'll be offended by something that was never addressed to you in the first place. But for the rest of you who are tired but not moving, who are tired but are afraid and don't know where to go but you'd like to, this is not an opportunity for you to just open up your ears and see past what sounds like an attack, because it really isn't. It really is just for us to open up our eyes and see what it is that they see from our own eyes, so that we can make our own changes and offset the guided missile that is clearly headed in this direction. But if you take offense to it, then clearly there's something up with your end of things, because none of it is meant to be offensive. Everything is meant to be progressive, and that is the issue that we are dealing with now. I don't know about any of you, but I am tired of seeing our young boys go out into the world and be sucked up into becoming effeminized. Our women are trained now to believe that we have to emasculate our men. Our men are trained to believe that all they're supposed to do is feed a litter and drop it off on the side of the road and keep it moving. I'm tired of telling our kids that they have to hold their hands out to meet a police officer if they're the ones that need the help, because they might get shot. You can't let your children express themselves with hairstyles or fashion gear, because that's a problem. I'm tired of seeing our people get sucked up into Hollywood, stating that the only way you will be considered even candidate material to be produced is if you remind us that you were slaves, that you were beaten down, that you are a gold digger, that all you want to do is go out there and have baby mama drama, baby daddy drama, have sex with the rich guys, do whatever it is. I'm tired of it. And if any of you are sitting up there and tired of it too, then everything that's going to be said tonight will not be a problem for you. Let's think about the stuff that we don't talk about after we've all got contented and relaxed. Does anybody stop to think about who exactly it could be or what is most likely the type of person that is writing these articles? Some young, bored, oppressive kid with too many gadgets and too much privilege that don't have any direction, and they know how to hack into a computer and falsify things from a main source line somewhere. So the first thing that starts out, they're bored one day, so let's see how much reaction we can get. And usually, in other words, let's see how high we can make the little niggas jump. Oh, no, don't get offended, everybody. I said nigga with an A. Should be a little more cool, right? So what do we do next? Now they sit back and they watch. They count the post likes. They count the responses. And then they get a rush from that, so they go and they put out another one. But guess what happens when putting out another article becomes boring to them? Now they start to entertain the fantasy of, if we can get this much reaction, imagine what kind of a thrill we'd get if this thing we're lying about was really come to life, if this really was happening. Hence, the birth of the what if this really did happen syndrome, which leads to the down with those, insert the epithet of your choice, ladies and gentlemen, in that little line. Fill in the blanks. Which then leads to some sort of attempted genocide, re-enslavery, chains again, let's go to what our own problems are with this. We had a wonderful panel last night, and one of the things that one of my twin girls, my twin lady said, was a very important point that hit me hard and also brought out what I thought about these articles. We are being studied. like subjects or rats in a maze in some science lab. They study our behavior collectively and individually. They study what it is that will entice us out of our pride and out of our dignity. They study what it is that we will actually go out there and fight to the hill for, and exactly what we'll bark a little bit about and go sit back and relax. They study how we will go out there and sell out our souls, our dignity, our families, our wives, our husbands for that extra zero on a check. They understand that as a culture, we are the most forgiving, yet the most victimized culture in the world. But if you do a little something for us, we're all good. We can forget about the fact that you chopped our grandfather's foot off. Because I got tickets to the game, right? Study the fact that we have such a sharp, keen, observatory eye on our own way of bringing us down. Men can tell a weed from a mile away, yet they don't mind it on a non-black culture woman. Our women could spot a loser or a scrub a mile away, yet they don't mind being treated horribly, called names while they're being some sort of sex target on the arm of the very people who's bringing down their real kings when they talk. We have such a keen eye, men, to figure out that this girl's trying to trap us with a kid because she's a gold-digging Jezebel, forgetting the fact you don't have much gold for us to dig for. That the gold is in that woman that stood by you when you were broke as hell. That the gold is in that woman who stood by you when you were broke as hell, and the white media wants to turn her into an Evelyn Lozada from The Basketball Wives. And you're back there going, did you see what Evelyn did to Tammy this year? And they distract you from getting yourself together because they're sending out these articles that everybody's going to sit on their 3-gigabyte hard drive to talk to people they don't know all around the world. Talk about how intelligent they are. Everybody's philosophers all of a sudden. And we will go at it on Facebook for hours and hours and hours about something that we eventually find out is a hoax. And guess what? We don't look at the content. We're looking at the actual article. We don't look at the subliminal messages in it. We're just relaxed because it's just something that we've been at the bubble for a few hours. Forgetting the fact that after we have gotten to that point, they've already infiltrated and implemented the plan that they had all along. And by the time we get it together, it's too late. We're done. Our children's future is down the damn drain. Our wives are no longer anything. We are criticizing ourselves more than ever because we're too afraid to look at, wait for it, the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room, the big fat monster coming at you to stomp you all out. The big fat monster that's out there to take your jobs, to take your freedom, to take your manhood or your womanhood, to split up your families, to tell you you need money but won't give you money, to condition you to believe that the only way you're going to be successful is if you can take your whole month's worth of phone bills, to live like them for 1 hour one day, to convince you that, you know what, every woman that's having your baby is nothing but a gold-digging hole that needs to be left in the mud. To convince you to leave them, then you do that, and then you get caught up because you know what? Your baby still needs to eat, so they don't have enough money. They have to go to a judge and make you do something. Now you're mad at that because you know what? Child support is just made to aim at the black man by a vindictive black woman. How the hell is she vindictive if she's trying to feed your kid? And don't get me wrong, ladies, but quite a few of us can be vindictive for no damn reason. And if there is the case of a vindictive woman, that means that you got a semi-decent or pretty good man in there trying to do something, but he just is not with you. It goes both ways, people. Our problems, our thinking needs to be amped up. Our views need to be broader on a better spectrum. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I posted this pre-broadcast question with this article. I asked two questions. Is this a sign of what's to come for African Americans, and what will we do about it? Now, aside from my social media groups, I have other places that I post this to. I have community face-to-face surveys that I sit with groups and I speak and I ask for these things. And not one, let me just say this, a disturbing return response rate of about 2 out of 3 people who responded completely overlooked the actual content of the actual subliminal content of the fake article. And their response was to remind me or inform me that the article was fake. Nothing behind it, just that's a fake article. Not one person, well, not many people out of that large mass of people that I've posted this to and asked this question about spoke about the fact that it may be fake or it may not be fake, but you know what? It is a serious problem. It's a real problem. Not one person alluded to that vision or that point. Now let's get to what we should have been answering and what we do know we can work with. What do we do about it? You know it. You see it coming. Do you stand there and just be attacked? We always know what we have to do, but we never try to do it. We're too afraid. We're too worried about giving up what little material possessions we have, because that's what validates us, right? If we can spend a whole year of our baby's formula money to go wear an Armani suit for one day, we've achieved success. Somebody brought up a very smart point, obvious point. We need money to do a little something. Absolutely. We do, but guess what? Two things happen in that respect. Two things happen. Number one, when we think about giving away money, we think about it in such a big, broad spectrum, one that we are not qualified to think of because we are in such a broken state that we wouldn't be able to do it even if we dared to try it. So instead of us thinking about us having to go into our very, very scanty and hard-pressed bank accounts, just if we have any, if we're not hard, struggling single parents trying to live from paycheck to paycheck and barely have a penny to spend over for a straw in a juice box, we need to stop looking at it that way and look at what we do control. Well, guess what? We can't give them lump sum monies to start a bank account from our own pockets. We can't do that to start a business from our bank accounts because society is not allowing us to get to the point of being able to save anything. And we haven't fought back enough like our ancestors did to stop things from happening. We've allowed cultures to come right into our black neighborhoods and take our money, and we service them, and then we're told that after midnight we can't shop in the store. We have to look through a window that spins around with bulletproof glass to try to peek over and see what's in aisle 7. Okay, so that's where we're at, right? But is hope lost? No, because here's what we do have. We have purchasing power, and I'm going to do a rough figure because I'm sure Professor Jones will be in here to correct me, but somewhere in the $1 billion is what we have in purchasing power. We can't see it because all we're looking at is our $100, you know, here or there. So what can we do? Well, let's start thinking past what's in front of you on the table. And let's start looking beyond the face value. And let's say this. They can keep money from us, but they can't tell us how to control the money that we have or where we purchase it. Montgomery, Alabama's bus boycott told them that they can't choose where they can sit, but they definitely chose how the hell they were going to get to work. And as mad as it made the outsiders, they definitely couldn't stop that. Company lost money, and we got our rights to sit wherever the hell we like. Well, why can't we do the same with choosing where we spend our money? Why can't we choose a different place to buy our sneakers from? As a matter of fact, why don't we try to find that black-owned business that actually would benefit us in the community? And black business owners, how about you stop trying to overcharge your own community while you take all the tax cuts from the outsiders? How about we do that? That way we can all conceal ourselves together. How about we stop having a sharp eye to criticize each other and turning a blind eye to the guided missile that's headed right for you? How about that? We do need to start small. We do need to control what's in our hands. We cannot storm the mountaintop. Our mountaintop is well guarded, and they see you coming. But we can be those little mice inside the walls that's chipping away and making little holes to get in. Pema Mickey, how's that? All right, I see you, panelists, and I'm about to bring you in right now to get this discussion moving along. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Carlos Ellaby Jones or Stalo Jenkins calling from D.C.
Hey, welcome back, stranger. I'll be right with you. I got two people behind you, and you'll be first on the mic. Hang on 1 second. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett and the rest of the panel.
Yeah.
Hey,
God bless you and your family.
You. Okay, got one more behind you, Deacon. You're second up. 1 second. Welcome to the show, Chloe. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Arlene. Okay, you will be the last one.
Hey, Arlene.
Hi. Right. Hi, guys.
All right.
Starting off with you, Mr. Stabo. What is your belief about these satirical articles, and do you have any viewpoints or feedback on what was just said in my very deep commentary?
Yes, your deep commentary was absolutely great. You know, and the thing is, in listening to it, you touched on all the points that need to be talked about. The fact that we need to wake up, you know, and everything that you said, you know, needs to be bulleted or emphasized, you know, point by point, because people. Wake up does not just mean wake up, okay? Wake up also means pay attention, be quiet and learn, then act. Wake up is not something, you know, like think about, you know, it's not something that it seems passive, but it's not. You know, these satirical articles, you know, and all of the media, everything that's been put before us and everything that's shoved down our throats has intention in the way that it's used is a big deal, you know. And, you know, the intention behind it is an even bigger deal than the way that things are used most times. You know, with satire, you need no humor. Humor is going to change over time anyway. You know, it's related to whatever society, the unique circumstances, you know, or unique environment where it manifests itself. So humor is always going to change, so everybody's not going to catch jokes. So even when we are utilizing, our expression, we have to remember, jokes is okay, but everybody doesn't catch your humor. It's not going to happen every time. So that's satire, and humor is not always the intention of satire. That we tend to forget that too. I think, you know, it's not always about humor. Sometimes it's about pondering. Sometimes it's supposed to make you sink down and realize what's going on. So if you're going to view the satire, don't just view it for something small, you know, something, you know, that's just glossed over and quickly read. We have to really pay attention, really, really wake up, you know. This stuff is used as a tool. You know, the satire articles, they're used as a tool to discredit us, to get us to discredit ourselves. You know, they love the fact that we argue back and forth whether an article is real and forget to discuss satire and have an intellectual Socratic type of situation amongst each other. But we don't get to do that because the media portrays something totally different. And then now that all this information is coming to us, now they're throwing rotten apples out there. You know what I'm saying? It's a tool to discredit us, and it'll discredit the plight to end racism. Oh, it's not really racism. That article is not even real, you know, and that's one thing is a tool to do, you know. It also desensitizes us, and it desensitizes the rest of the world, the observers of our struggle, you know, the people that see. Like when you think of Frederick Douglass, when you think of people like Maya Angelou who died today, all right, these people, they describe in a time where information like, you know, think about the amount that Maya wrote. You know, that's Google in itself, in my opinion. But think about that. That was the information of the time. So during that time, you know, they had to describe black people's conditions and struggle. And then also, not only was it for us to be cultures, and when we would come up to look at them as, you know, icons or examples in our culture, but also to show the rest of the world, so the rest of the world can hear their descriptions and understand. Now they throwing out bull crap. So then we supposed to point it out, but you know, the thing is, it desensitizes us, you know, and that's crazy. And then it desensitizes the rest of the world, so that when we show them something, if you will, like Frederick Douglass did, he went across seas and realized that the portrayal of slavery all over the world was that it was this benevolent, beautiful situation, network between two races, and great, 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 great. And they didn't even realize until, you know, people like Frederick Douglass and came from this cruel place over here at the time and went over there and told them. See what I'm saying? So then you start talking about, like, okay, for instance, like you said, it got rid of the Voting Rights Act. They got rid of I spent a majority of the time in my college career, you know, in my spare time fighting to keep that Voting Rights Act. How could they say that there's no need for the protection? Now, even if people in their minds are saying, oh, there's no need for it, there was conditions that aren't, just recently in Georgia, you know what I mean? Just recently in Georgia, I know, you know, just the way they played the words with the ID situation when people went to vote, because most of the black people in a certain place were only attending the HBCUs, there was a whole slew of black people who were disenfranchised. Even if one person is disenfranchised, the law is necessary. And now all of a sudden, now we have to see how real it is, how this it is, how that it is, how much is impactful. And that's crazy, because all of a sudden now they're making us, you know, they're planting things in our heads. You see what I'm saying? Like what Cuban was talking about. You know, racism is not the same thing as general prejudice. But they want us to believe that, and they keep saying it over and over again in the media. People can continue to believe it. Racism is not the same thing as general prejudice, okay? If I have a general prejudice because, you know, most of the people that I've come into contact with that are something, whatever, you know, that's not the same thing as racism. It doesn't have the same context or anything, right? But they want us to believe that. Because if we believe that, then a racist person doesn't seem like that bad of a person. You know, okay, now the racist crime is not that bad of a crime all of a sudden. Because, and the thing is, you know, they're going to keep, now pay attention, like Katie said. Look at what they're doing, changing the law. You know, they can plant things in your house now if they got in there at worst. Just plant some stuff. Or they could tamper with the placement and the positioning of evidence or lack thereof evidence. You see what I'm saying? So wake up,
which
pay
brings
attention.
Me to the point, which brings us back to what I meant by they use these satirical articles because they've studied us to know what attracts us, what keeps our attention, what is it that we allude to, what is it that we're going to take our time or waste our time on. And while they're doing that, they're deflecting from the big issue. That
right.
Black America is being debilitated, is being broken up, is being annihilated, slowly but surely, because they can't just walk up to you right now and beat you in the head and just say you're a black man, even though it happens, but now people get punished. Or at least they go to jail under the pretense of going through some judicial motion. I do need to move on to Deacon. Deacon, your take on this. Do you believe these satirical articles are made as a distraction to deflect us from the elephant in the room?
Yes, it is. It that is obvious. Now, I want to thank you for your very strong commentator from the beginning of the show. And Stalo, you hit quite a few nails on the head and pretty much touched on everything that I was going to bring up. So what I'd like to say is to our people directly, especially the ones that are sitting on their butts and just blowing off a lot of steam and doing a lot of complaining, but they act like they've got super glued to their butts and they're afraid to stand up and speak up. How many times do we have to be hit over the head with a sledgehammer? I mean, just how many times does that have to happen for us to actually wake up, stand up, move around, not just stand still, make us some noise? Let's shake up this foundation and break it up some. You know, it's been years and years and years of the same thing, the same thing. We've had people that have died, given up their lives for us to have the opportunities that we have today. And we are slowly letting them slip away. I mean, what type of honor is that giving to our ancestors that have left us all of this? Left it right at our feet. A lot of us too doggone lazy to bend over and pick it up and run with it. That has got to stop. We have to start coming together and being a strong people as we were brought into this world to be. And if we don't do that, we might as well just sit back and say, oh, let them do what the hell they want to do. And then we'll be right back to where we were before. We'll be slaves. We are actually slaves today. But we're enslaving ourselves because
absolutely.
Of our way of thinking.
We absolutely are. We're at that point now. It is what it is. What are we supposed to do about it? What can we do about it? We can't do anything. I don't know what to tell you. What can we do? What you can do is stop looking at a mop in the bucket in a McDonald's shop as a mop in the bucket in a McDonald's shop. Start learning how they do it. What's the concentration to these professional cleaners? Why are these cleaners used? What is it that they prevent? What do they kill? What is considered something that slows down something? Then open up your own business and do that. Know what you need to know. Open up a janitorial business and then tell the business owners that you're trying to promote your services to exactly what is what. Have some knowledge behind what you're doing. Stop looking at it as just three pieces that you're trying to connect. Patrick Irvine is one of the, you guys know I call you guys my power people because people don't put you guys on the front page like that. All they are putting on the front page is the scandals of an athlete, the scandals of our actresses, the scandals of our rap artists, some bogus or real beef between people. T.I. and Tiny we spoke about yesterday and Floyd Stupid Mayweather. Okay, so here we are. We're right back at this is what they expect of us. Let's do the puppet show. Lord, I hope I hear from Patrick tonight because he always has such great deep things to say as well. But I will tell you that this is one of the things that we have got to change because as I believe, I don't know if it was Arlene or Darlene that said, they study us. They've done this for years. They've watched us. They've stood quietly in the corner on a park bench somewhere and watched how we play with our children in the park. How do we interact with our other half? How is it that we spend money? What won't we spend money on? What are our long-term dreams? What are our investment ideas? Do we know what a pension is? Do we know the difference between a 401k? Do we understand what the hell a business law is? What's an EIN number? What's a tax credit? Do we understand these things? We are too busy trying to sensationalize people who are already covered and aren't thinking a damn thing about you, who helped them get sensationalized because we stood in line taking our light bill money to buy tickets to their concerts. I need to move on to Arlene. Arlene, correct?
Yes.
Hi, honey. Your take. I'm dying to hear this.
You know I've got some craziness to say, right? Darlene is listening and she's not feeling too good. She just wanted me to let you guys know she's listening.
Blessings and get well soon, Darlene.
Okay. Now, my favorite saying is and has been for many, many years, if you want to keep the focus off yourself, you put it on somebody else. And that's basically what they do all the time. If I don't want you to see what I'm doing, I'm going to make you look at what somebody else is doing so that way I could continue doing behind your back what I've been doing. I'm very frustrated. I feel like the only way that we're going to get our people's attention is for the men, free Viagra. For the women, we'll remodel your kitchen. For the kids, put it in a rap song. You understand? because we have to use different methods for different people, okay? Because you got older people who, like Zeke was saying, is like their asses is crazy glued to whatever it is they have in their home. You know what I mean? They scared to make a move. They go to work. They go to the bathroom. They go to bed. You know what I'm saying? And that's their life. They don't concern themselves with anything that's going on outside of their world. And everybody is so into just wanting to be comfortable. And I'm like, how could you be comfortable in that? Okay, yeah, you feel a sense of security in your home and, you know, things of that nature. You go to work, you're being productive for somebody else as usual, and you come home and things of that nature, but you can't, you don't care what's going on around you. I mean, like, to the point where you can walk outside and be so oblivious, you can walk into a bullet, you can walk into a knife fight, you can walk into an oncoming car. That's how oblivious we are to what is actually going on. But then again, I don't think that we are totally oblivious, because I always felt that if you don't know, nobody can blame you. And once you know, then you don't have no excuse. So people walk with blinders on. They don't want to see what's going on, because once they see it, they're responsible, and they don't want to be responsible. You be like, you ain't see that? Nope, I ain't see nothing.
What else in the room? What are you talking
about?
You know
what I'm saying? Exactly. And as long as we can say, well, I didn't know, that's like, gold. That line is like gold. You can bank on it. I didn't know, so you can't hold me responsible. But see, you know what? Whatever happens to me, boo, is going to happen to you too. So I suggest that you take those blinders off and acknowledge what's happening to me, because if it hasn't already happened to you, it's on its way. You know what I'm saying? And it's really sad that we have to go to extreme, because there's little things that we have put in place, or there's little things that are in place for the black community, but we don't even adhere to it. We send our kids to school on Martin Luther King birthday still. They do have a one day a year where they say black people do not shop. They can't wait to go and shop. You understand? Because we don't have cooperation with each other. That's why I said we need to target each circle in a different way. With our men, we need one thing. With the women, we need something else to get their attention. With our children, we need something totally different. And make sure you put curses in it, because you will get their attention. If you put this world is coming to an end, mother effer, they get that. You understand what I'm saying? The white man is stabbing you in your back. You can't see that, you ASS, you understand? But you got to put some curses in there, because if you don't put no curses in there, you're going to lose them. I feel like writing a song myself. You know what I mean? No, I'm very serious. I really feel like writing a rap song and get an indie artist that can relate to what I'm saying, so that way the white man can't control them, because they're independent. They can say what they want to say, and just write them a song about the community, what's happening, how, we're being brainwashed and all of that, but they got to put a lot of curses in there, because, you know, they won't be able to reach the younger generation if they don't. But I was considering doing that. Now, the another thing that would get their attention, I don't know whether it be a positive or a negative, is if it's a mature woman like me that get on the mic and be cursing up a storm and talking about what's going on. That will get their attention.
I'm not sure, but just in case my troll patrol officers be on alert, I got a couple of families in mind, you, so hang on a minute. Let me go. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Black folks are savages. They ain't contact.
Oh, I should have known. Okay, and I guess this one here. One
Thank
second.
You.
God bless you and your family.
And the savages who run after us. Hang on a minute. I believe this might be the accomplice. Hang on a second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Hi. How are you? What's your name?
My name is Dwight. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey.
Hi, Dwight. How are you?
Hi, Dwight.
I'm doing just fine tonight. I've been listening
on
for like
one
the past...
Second. Let me just bring in the panelists after you, and you'll have the mic first, okay? Hold on one second.
Sure.
Welcome to the show, Paul. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie.
Oh, baby, you sound really bad. I hope you're okay. You have the mic right after Dwight, okay? Just hang on a second. Welcome to our show, Dwight. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'll make it kind of short, and then the next caller can come on and make their point. Listen for the past half hour or so. What I've been taking away, as I'm actually half Italian and half Caucasian, and what I would like to point out is nigger, 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 nigger.
That's really intelligent, you know.
Exactly,
yeah,
like that.
But we're the savages.
Very intelligent.
But
very
we're
intelligent.
Savages. We're the savages. Probably two young boys with too much time on their hands, and they can do everything but be human beings. But we're the savages.
Yeah,
and
they're probably going to go out and kill their family anyway. Stop
and they're talented enough to not show numbers. They call from Skype. They do all this stuff. Grow up. Get a life. Be a human being.
Yeah.
Learn whatever. And the word nigger, you need to look that up. So
you know
what?
You know what? Let me say this. This is a sign of fear that they live in.
Yes. Yes.
The, and the fear is a group of people like us getting together and organizing our people and waking them up. That is what the fear is. They don't want to see that. The devil is busy. But
all
see, he has no power. He has no power. You can't stop the inevitable. And like I said, the time for waking up is long overdue. And there's been some people that have been sleeping so long, sometimes we might have to slap them upside the head, but they're starting to wake up. So you people out there listening now, listen very well. It is coming.
You know what gets me? We're so hated by them. They can't stand us. We're a bunch of idiots. We're nothing. We're whatever in their mind. Why do you follow us? Why do you waste your time listening to a show that has absolutely nothing to do with you but everything to do with you? And we're stupid. We're monkeys. We're savages. We're X, Ys, and Zs. We're all these things. But yet, look at this. They're sitting listening for half an hour to a show about us. But we're nothing. What, you don't call that fear, you cowardly bastards?
Not only the half an hour did they spend, but they're emulating us. They're using our jargon. They're high-fiving each other. They're rocking their hair. They're wearing their pants half off their behind. They're doing our walk. They're teaching our language. They're doing everything that we do. And to top it off, they go in and they might as well just jump in a damn frying pan and put some butter in it.
Hot tonight. UKSC,
okay,
bye.
And they're really upset because a lot of their white women want to be like our black women.
And want our black men, too.
Yeah.
Shorty. If I could be like Mike. All right, I got two other panelists. Welcome to the show, Claudio.
Well, we got a hot one tonight. This is Professor Jones.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know, man.
Say something like Black America or Elephant in the Room. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if all three of them that's trying to call in my panel are the satirical writers.
No, Darlene is on there.
No. I'm talking about the ones that were just here. One second.
Oh.
Let me just go in. The panel, oh, look at this one. Oh, wait, you ready? General Law, some official. But I like that word. You idiots.
Well.
Hello, Professor.
Hello.
Welcome
hey, what's
to the
going
show,
on?
Caller. You're on the air.
Hey,
what's going on, everybody?
Patrick.
Hold on, guys. I can't hear you. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Patrick.
This is Patrick. You're talking to me or the professor?
No, I was talking to you. You'll have the mic right after Professor Patrick, and welcome. Thank you very much. Professor, weigh in, dude.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I see.
Katie.
Yeah, hey, how y'all doing?
All right.
You know, darling, hope all hopes and prayers for you, baby. Feel better. It's just like Deacon said, you know, the fear is there because it's uncomfortable for them to deal with the truth. And when we start talking the truth about how, you know, the society is that we live in, it's breaking down barriers because you have to understand everything that breaks us down builds them up. And everything that builds us up breaks them down, especially when we're talking about breaking through this thing called truth. So
right.
When we start talking about how these satire articles are coming to the forefront, you know, let's talk about satire for a second. You know, the whole history of satire was always about comedy, was all about plays, but it was about emulating some type of political thought or some type of controversial view that was in the wind to generate conversation. To get the idea out there in the public. Now, people can say it started in Greece, but I know here in America.
Professor,
hello?
Let me interrupt you 1 minute. This is funny. Guess where they're calling from?
Ohio.
Bro.
Oh, my God. Look at this one. Sir Richard Lionheart.
Well,
this is comedy hour. This is comedy hour. We got Florida, Floridians, we have Sir Richard Lionheart, we have some mythical characters. Isn't this awesome? Oh, my
wow.
goodness. Okay,
Go ahead, Professor.
Well,
ahead,
see, when you look at what was happening, it's just like what I believe Stale was saying earlier, and you may have spoken on it too, Katie, but it's basically they're sending out feelers right now to see what's catching. One of the things that happens with the satire is it's used often, like I say, in comedy, and a lot of it started in comic strips, you know, in newspapers. And what it would do is they would use satire to tell a mythical story about a real situation, and it was about ideas that would leap to them through secondary sources, unidentified sources, and so forth. So nowadays, what you have is you have big, giant think tanks that are sponsoring all of these different satire newspapers because you have to think about it for a second. If I write a blog, only a certain few people are going to see it. But why is it that these satire newspapers are getting more circulation than some of the main newspapers when these types of stories come out? You know, so somebody's pushing the envelope. Yeah, you know, Google works a certain way. I know I have a website. So I know in order to get certain hits to generate a certain response, you have to input in certain information. But not only that, you have to have people following you, plugging you, and sharing your site more and more and searching for your site. So you have to have some type of generator to generate that interest in your site. It doesn't just happen. There are billions of different ISP numbers and so forth on the Internet. So when you talk about this, there's always a mechanism behind it. Now, check this out. The School of Psychiatry was created by the same group that tried to overthrow the presidency during FDR's reign around 1929 and 1932. And it was a group called the Robber Barons. Now, it was all the wealthy families, the Bush family, the Rockefeller family, all the major banks, they funded these, they tried to fund the revolution through their way. Well, these are the same people who put together the schools of psychology because they wanted to learn how to control masses of people. And the way they found out that it was most productive was through the media. That was the big reason why we had a race towards TV and motion picture. And as everyone knows, the first motion picture was what? Birth of a Nation, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to keep in mind that the same powers that were behind this type of thing going on then are the same powers behind it now. But they can hide themselves or miscellaneous names and miscellaneous ghost companies and so forth, and they can put this information out. Now, this isn't the first time something like this has come out. And let's face it, there are places in this country where, although this is a satire article, this practice is taking place. where they're excluding people just based on race and so forth. There are a whole lot of towns that were built on the same principle. If anybody ever gets a chance to go out and get sundown towns, you will see that there are towns, communities, and neighborhoods built on excluding or pushing out and moving violently if needed blacks, Latinos, Asians, whoever wasn't white in those neighborhoods, in those communities, in those townships. These are the things that are going on now, and they're gauging public interest. And so they're following the feedback, they're following the trails to see how people respond to these articles. And what I find very telling is the two articles that we were talking about yesterday, whereas you had one article about a rapper and a boxer, and they had an altercation in which no one was seriously injured, no one was seriously hurt. But then you have another story where a young man stabs three people in his apartment, then makes a tape about records himself talking about how he's going to make people pay because women didn't like him for 8 years. And then he went off into his college and killed seven people. So, but the story about the rapper and the story about the boxer got more publicity, got more hits, and got more coverage. You know, the dominant society is never comfortable covering information that portrays them in a bad way. So it's always easier and more convenient to glamorize things that happen in our community because it also makes their community look good.
Exactly.
Can I say something?
Yeah, Darlene, go ahead.
Darlene. At first, I'd love to meet them and applaud them because in my lifetime, I always felt what ignorance. I always knew what ignorance felt like, but I really needed them to confirm what it looks like. Okay, I thank them again for that. On that note, the thing for me is that even listening to something like that, we don't invade their privacy. We don't invade their turf. We don't invade their lives, period. And that only made me a little stronger tonight for letting us know how important we really are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can take time out of your busy schedule, with your executive life and your little mistresses and your Dom Perignon and your champagne and your what's the fish, caviar, to come into a forum to say that, like, thank you, for real. We are that important. That's what I got from that. You know, so no, you did not disturb me. No, you did not make me angry. You only made me realize how special we are. So I thank you again. Don't make sense. If they have, you know, it is what it is. And we know what they are about. You know, but they just got to intercept it, make, you know, to confirm it. We already know. You don't need to confirm it, you know. And that just lets us know that the talks that we have are raising eyebrows. Yes, it's very impactful. It's meaningful. And the famous word that they are so afraid of, being threatened, you know. And you know what? It's a beautiful thing.
For me, you know what we're thinking.
It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful night. I love it. I love it. I'm embracing the moment because if they feel like niggas should hurt us still, then they are straight ignorant. We've been called nigger all our lives. So you think that really affected us? Not really. Not really. It just showed me what ignorance looked like. Like I said, I know what it felt like, but I never knew. No, I knew what it looked like. He just confirmed it. So, you know, by God's grace and mercy, You know, we just need to keep doing what we're doing, because anything that we do, when it raises our eyebrow, then that means it's very powerful. Because they don't waste their time. They won't waste their time on nothing. They won't waste their time.
Yeah, they certainly didn't waste their time to get their 2 minutes of fame by saying nigger, 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 nigger.
Well, you know, and that was, but you know what I really wanted to say? He must have took 5 minutes out of his time from the animals, right? Just to say that.
Yeah. That's what you
know. We're the savages. We're the savages. Okay. So what are you? You have sexual intercourse with animals.
Oh, wow.
Darlene, I need to take it over to Patrick. Thank you, Patrick, for waiting so patiently.
That didn't happen.
Patrick?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you for waiting there through all the madness and still hanging on. So what's your take on tonight? Do you think these satirical articles are being used as the new distraction for us to deflect from what's really going on?
I think that's twofold. I agree. They are most definitely distraction for the keep you busy being entertained and laughing. I also agree with, I believe I read you made a comment in another group on your discussion topic where you mentioned planting the seed. Is that me?
No.
Oh.
Who is that?
Hello? You guys there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
It's the FBI.
Well, everybody hold on to their pocketbooks and their pockets and their wallets.
Yeah.
Speaking of the FBI, though, really, for real, look, really. The World Bank, let's just think about how the
hold on a minute, okay? Hold on to your thoughts, because I really want Patrick to finish what he's saying, honey.
Oh, my bad.
Okay.
I agree with what you were saying earlier about planting the seed, but I agree with what the professor was saying about it being a filler tactic, it being a kind of a test out. For me anyway, satirical comedy, even when done vocally and stand-up or whatever, has always been very revealing for letting people know what people are thinking about, how people really feel. Because people will tell you how they feel and cover it up with a laugh. You know, they'll tell you what's real and then say, I was just joking behind it. So for satirical sites, that's the vibe I get off of them. Okay, well, Arby's just got licensed to have the white only restaurant. To me, that's supposed to be funny. But what are you really saying about the culture, about what's going on down there in Florida, about how you feel about what's going on down there in Florida? Because remember, satirical articles, they take something that could be true and they stretch it just a little bit further. So it's not like they're going out there making up outlandish things or anything like that. Like, you know, part of the brilliance of satire is that it's hard to distinguish from reality. So, you know, you read these satire articles and you're like, hold on, that look like that would actually happen. So, you know, I think all three of those things come into play with the increase in amount of satire articles coming up that are dealing with racial issues and that are talking about rolling back the clocks of time. I think we should definitely be paying attention to that. But even when it comes to the guys writing satire pieces like that, or, you know, you had the callers calling in, and, you know, it's kind of like
what you have when someone cheats on their partner and all of a sudden now they're overly suspicious that their partner's going to cheat on them. You know, somebody is a bully, and now they're not a bully no more, but they're overly they're overly concerned with being bullied by the person they used to bully. When you look at the dominant white society, that fear that is there because they're scared of becoming oppressed. They're scared of, because every time they relinquish power, they give it to a group of people that they have historically oppressed. And the fear is always in the back of their mind, if we relinquish too much power, will we be oppressed? And that's what we're fighting against, and that's why we can't make any real strides without kickback, because they're operating from the mindset of, if somebody had been beating on me for the last 400 years and I had the chance to punch them in the mouth back, I would. And that's the way they're processing what's going on right now. And that's why what we're dealing with is dually so, especially here in America, because the strides have been made so fast. Everything's happened so quickly. And the memory of the power that they used to have is still there. It's still fresh. They can still see it. They still have much of it. But every day they lose a bit more. And every day the stark reality comes that eventually the playing field might really be leveled. And if the playing field is really leveled, what's going to happen if we can't maintain our dominance? And what's going to happen if they overtake us? And that's why I think you're seeing a lot of the increase in satire sites like this. You'll probably be seeing an increase in foolish behavior like you saw earlier. You know, all of those things will be coming to pass, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And, you know, yeah, I want to allude back to what you said just a minute, because that's pretty much what I've been saying here, was in the responses that I received today from the pre-broadcast topic question. I got more people answering with that's a fake article rather than the situation that the article was based on. And forget the fact that the actual specifics was a lie. Where it's coming from, like you said, it's a little bit of truth or something that could be true. And we don't look at it that way. We look at what's right in front of us. And I do know a lot of it is conditioning, and I get that. But I'll say again, at some point in time, whether we've been conditioned or preconditioned or born with it or whatever the case is, you live a life of new things that are presented to you on a daily basis where you have to make a decision. Be it, okay, I'm going to the store, I'm going to go the shortcut, I'm going to take the long way. Be it, I'm going to get in my car today, I'm going to walk. Be it, I'm going to take the E train to get to this particular place, or you know what, I'll take the F train and get to the same place and walk a block. You make choices. You have a chance to make choices. So you can't blame. You got to understand, we make a choice. Even if it's a good sound choice in our head, there's a 50-50 chance it may not go right. But the point is, you can't then take what went wrong about it and say that's because we were oppressed back in the days, or that's because our ancestors didn't do it. You have to come to a point and say we were taught this, and understand we were taught at a time where technology wasn't a factor, where freedom wasn't a factor. We have to make choices of what we're given now. Each generation is supposed to take what they've learned and add to it and then pass it on for the next generation to do the same. We have dropped the ball on that respect. And then we got idiots like the monkeys calling in right now, talking about, hey, let us out of the cage for a day. Hello. Hey, kick, 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 kick. And the only thing they learned was, oh, I think the word is nigger. So this is where we are at. We have to make choices now. We have to control what's in our reach to do it now. We have to open our eyes and stop hitting the proverbial snooze button every time the alarms go off.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who need live proof, you heard it. I can give you all the Skype names that just tried to call in to pretend they were someone else so they can get the same stupid comment off. Light of the future. You just heard him. There was another one. Kwame got Killian too. Richard the Lionheart. These are what they do. They hide behind guns and badges. They hide in mobs. They have to take one black person out with a mob. And guess what? They still protect themselves when it comes down to it. Arby's is sitting up there not going after the idiots that are writing these things, but it's going to go after anybody that is going to promote it further. That was one of the responses I got today as a heads up. Be careful. I tried to get it on my show, and they said that if anybody promotes it, they're going to pursue legal action. I've kind of figured something like that, but this is where we come in. Why are we accepting this? Why are we not outraged about the fact that they took something, like, for example, now, Maya Angelou passed away? Are we going to hear a satirical article later that says, oh, Maya Angelou was spotted on the Hudson River? Maya Angelou was spotted by taking the Circle Line on a day cruise. Are we going to sit back there and go, did you hear this? It's a vicious cycle. When do we break it? When do we break it? There's enough of us that are politically aware, socially aware, community aware, enough to be on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever new stuff is coming out now, Pinterest, whatever it is, that can spend 96 hours talking about it. So clearly you know that it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you're not brainwashed by that little, maybe you guys can tell me what the technical name is, but I see it like in all the banks. It's like a bunch of swinging metal balls that's on this little harp-looking thing, and you take one ball and you click it, and it just clicks all the other ones, and you just get addicted to looking at it. I believe that the hypnosis, the hypnotist people use it, you know, to get the attention of their subject. It's click, 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 click. All day long. Clearly, those of you that's on Facebook or all these other places are doing this because you're aware that it's a problem. We have to stop being okay with the fact that, oh, we found out it's a hoax. Yes, that particular article was a hoax, but not what the content was.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There are white franchise owners trying to go out there and eliminate us stepping foot into their facility, whether we're sagging, whether we're dressed up in an Armani suit. Meanwhile, they'll take everything they call us savages for and capitalize on it. What's up, my nigga? What's up? High five. Yeah, my bad. Cool, dude. Wake up, Black America. Wake up. Wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up and move up.
Can I add something, Katie?
Go ahead, Salem.
I find it funny a lot of times when I'm on the line and a lot of things are like so, like, I think we need to be, when we wake up, we need to wake up to the fact that a lot of the lies and the betrayals will come in the form of people, you know, in the form of, like, moral superiority, as if they're doing a good deed. Look, like the World Bank and the IMF, what do they do? They make demands of other countries to show their trustworthiness before they assist them in the economics and the money and the things and systems that they manipulate themselves. But yet, they're supposedly a World Bank, and they this grandiose thing, you know. And then when I see tests online and stuff that ask, I saw something that said, "What gun would you use to defend your home?" Are they trying to find out who knows about weapons and who doesn't? Are they trying to, like, you know, when they ask what gun you like better, what appeals to you more, all this stuff, and we look at it as if it's not, you know, espionage, and it really is. Because these are mostly contracted fathers, you know, people that work for them but don't quite work for them. So it's espionage at all times, you know. They also want to portray that the only black men that are verbally attacking white supremacy are either unemployed or, you know, greatly character flawed or something like that. Because I come across a lot of people that even generalize everything, you know, based on what they're saying, you know, on Facebook and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, the media is penetrating even a deeper level and quicker.
You're absolutely right on that. And that alludes back to what everybody in some form or another tonight has spoken on. Okay? We don't want to look at the elephant in the room. We don't want to look at it. We want to close our eyes and say everything around it. Okay? We want to close our eyes and we want to say that we didn't know, as I guess Arlene said. We want to close our eyes and not tackle the big issue. We don't want to wrestle the beast. We want to go about our daily ways and with our comfort zones and our safety nets. We want to hold on to what we can see, feel, and touch, which bars and bans and obliterates any sort of future investment because that's too long-term. Meanwhile, if they really studied what it is, it's not as long-term as you think. We want to try to get the big stuff right now, which is why a lot of our rappers are out there being the rappers as we know them today, which is why you see so many people portraying our people as basketball wives or loving hip-hop, why so many of us are sitting up there being a Jocelyn Hernandez, which is why so many of us are walking out there putting our business and our children out on Maury Povich, being the front page catalyst for what people think of us, like when people come from other countries and see the Statue of Liberty and they know the story behind it, they automatically think when they come to America they're going to get a great life. And depending on which culture you are, you know what, they may not be too far off-fetched. My question is, when the hell do we get tired enough to say, I've had enough? Why aren't we pissed off about all these satirical articles that's taken up our time? Why? Because they've studied us to know that that's what we'll jump on in a minute. I believe somebody said in one of our previous social media chats that if you throw up the name Beyonce and Jay-Z, you'll get 400 comments. But talk about a kid that just, well, matter of fact, one of our panelists read, posted up a beautiful story today about a young kid who played a violin and played the Pharrell song all instrumental. Why aren't we producing and enhancing and uplifting more of those stories for people to see? Why aren't we doing that? There is a panelist coming in. Let me bring them in because there's not much time left in the segment. Hang on. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Good evening, KD and the panel. This is Asterix Agricola from Dothan, Alabama.
Hey, Asterix, the game's
hey,
all here.
Asterix.
I'm asking Miss Patrol, dude. You know, coming after the fight is over. That's a cowardly move. That's one of their moves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Well, here's the question that I'm asking. The satirical articles that you see out there that's coming out, do you believe that this is a new method or an added method to them distracting us from what's really going on behind the scenes?
Some of that, of course. You know, it's a lot of things that's distraction. What's funny is when I watch, it's funny how you say about distractions because what they were saying a few, probably about 5 nights ago in the playoffs, and they give you little gems at times for you to catch a hold to. And before a game came on, they were saying something about those who control the past control the future. Mm. And I said, wow, why would they put that up before the basketball game comes on? And then I heard Shaq and them say, you know, as far as them being sportscasters now, they had said that, well, you know, this is like a small distraction from the things that goes on, you know, in the real world and real life, you know. And I had been taught that a long time ago anyway, you know, that that's what these things are used for. And, you know, we out there to make money and stuff like that as far as the athletes that's in it, and they get paid top bills for it. But when I think about it, overall, I know our history as far as entertainment, we've always been those fiddlers and all. Anything that was pleasant, that wasn't going to rock the boat of those who were in control, those are the things that we were taught to delve into anyway, for the most part. Because if you started thinking just like okay, I can say for instance with Frederick Douglass, I never forgot this when I was little and I read it. He said around Christmas time and New Year's Eve, He said, around that time that we had those week or 10 days off, that getting drunk and all that stuff, it was like encouraged to do. And if you weren't into that, you were frowned upon. They used to have these fallout drunk contests and all that type of stuff like that, different things he said that he observed, and that he said that he believed the reason why they did that was to keep your mind off of the misery and the oppression you were going through, so that you wouldn't think about insurrection or anything like that, or rebellion. So they'll let you go see the women on the other plantations and all that stuff like that. And I said, wow. And when you see certain things that's going on today and you're paying attention, you know that different things are distractions that's thrown out there. Even some of these fake stories that come out here, you know, sometimes those things could be real. It may not be real at that moment, you know, but that's the mind state. It was like what you put up today that I had seen. And, you know, that can be a real thing. But sometimes I believe that they throw little hooks out there. That's why I think certain of these sites that's out there that's just doing things for fun and stuff like that, you know, and then people are get so bent out of shape when they say, oh, that's not real. You know, that's not a real sight and stuff like that. And for entertainment, this would trip me out about black folks on Facebook. You can put something out there and they're so critical about it. Oh, why are you putting up fake stuff and this and that? Well, I don't have to actually be on here to just keep it real. You know, it's an entertainment thing, the same as when you watch movies. It's for entertainment. Now, if you're the type that like to watch documentaries, they have that for you. If you like nonfiction, they have that for you. If you want fiction, they have that for you. It's different categories, you know. And I said, why do sometimes black people, our people, get so angry about certain things that's not a real post, you know, even at times? I never really thought about death until you brought that up about distraction and stuff. But I said, why do we get so bent out of shape when it comes to certain things like that? But when it's real life stuff, for real, a lot of times we don't even talk about it anyway. Like how you said about Jay-Z and Beyonce, you get all types of likes and comments on that. But when it's talking about the real issues that go on in our community, molestation, people missing and all that, you don't hardly get that much on that, unless it's from people who kind of got a heart for it. Besides that, the average-minded person, they looking far above that. That's way over their head. They're not even thinking about it. I believe because a lot of times we want to drown out what we figure that we can't deal with. So we drown it out with other areas, the same as people get distracted by using drugs and overusing alcohol and all that. All of those are distractions after a while when you use those in place of facing your problems.
Absolutely. And my problem, like I said, with us is that we first of all, they watch us. And I'll tell you that Arlene brought that up well. They have spent years studying us from way back in the slave ship days. They spent years watching us, watching how we work, watching what we do, watching what it is, knowing that there was riches on the land that we were on and that they weren't skilled enough to cultivate it, but yet they watched us do that. They felt it was wasting all that land. Same way they did with the Native Americans. They didn't respect anything that wasn't a jungle, a concrete jungle. They didn't respect anything that didn't generate more greed, more control. But one of the things that we could say about the modern day and age is this. They're doing the same thing. They're watching us. They're ridiculing us to keep in our head that all the things that we do, even though some things we ourselves believe is ridiculous, are uncivilized. And they love that word because it's been used all through our history books. Uncivilized. They're savages. They're all of these things. This is what they've built in their head, to believe that they have the right to assess people in this manner. But they have watched us, and they watch us now. They watch us get people we'll never meet a day in our life, but we'll give our money to on a daily basis. They watch us be able to wear bling and things to that effect. Meanwhile, they know we don't have a damn dime to do it, but yet we're doing it. They lift up our criminal records. We clearly didn't steal it, so obviously we're purchasing power somewhere. So how do they do this? Then they come in and they say, now this is what we're going to do. They're too big for us. They're a little bit scary. As a matter of fact, if they get together in a mob, they're going to beat our mob 10-1. So let's try this. How about we make them fight among themselves? That way they don't know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
We can use the voice to guide, honey.
I'm sorry. The interesting part in what you're saying is the psychology of it all. And I want to give you two examples real quick. One is there was a story about how trainers, the elephants, when they get elephants, they take the baby elephants and tie them to a rope and tie that stick to the ground. And mm-hmm. it's strong enough that the baby elephants can't pull away from it. And what happens is the older the elephant gets, the less inclined the elephant is to fight against the rope because it was taught as a child that it couldn't break free of that rope. Now, every once in a while, an elephant will break free, and you can see those videos on YouTube when they do. But for the most part, that psychology works. Now, let's see. I had a teacher, right, one of my former teachers that I used to supervise, contact me today, an unfortunate situation. One of our students passed away last week from complications to a pregnancy. So, you know, we've been talking about the funeral and so forth. But she had a question because she follows me on Facebook and on social media. So I just want to read a quick response from her, a quick question from her and a response from me in terms of how to teach our, deal with our children because she works in a school K through 8. So here was her question. She said, I have so many questions for you because I've been reading your post, but I'll only ask one. If there are so many systems in place designed to keep minorities and people as a whole in a fog, what can I do or what do you propose I hold as an educator to enlighten my students so they'll have a fighting chance? And this was my response to her. Teach them the histories about subjects such as 7-Eleven, prosperous black towns during our Renaissance. Teach them about COINTELPRO, white supremacy as taught by Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, and about melanin. Teach them to use social media for information and networking, not buffoonery. Most of all, teach them that they're great for just being who they are no matter what society paints them to be. And one last thing, fight against all systems that subjugate them to standardized, tested, and psychotropic drugs, just for starters. See, we have to start young because too many of us have been in this system so long that we become immune to the beatings. We become, like Dr. King said, one time I watched a video, he got smashed in the head with a bottle. And the guy covering him, the reporter said, wow, are you okay? You just got hit with that bottle. He said, man, I've been hit with so many bottles, I'm immune to it. And that's what us as a people, we're immune to being hit with the bottles. So we have to deal with the ones who, when they get hit with the bottles, say, ouch, man, that hurts. That's our children. So we have to start young because the revolution, there's enough of us to be teachers, but there's not enough of us strong enough to be revolutionary. So the revolutionaries are the ones out there running around. As I spoke, I heard 5 gunshots out the window just a few minutes ago. So we got to get these revolutionaries pointed in the right direction. Not to say I want anybody out there shooting anybody, but we have to get our warrior class ready. And as teachers, as we all are, we have to sit down and prep and prompt them on their importance. So when we see them, you know, a kind word here or there, just to engage them, and eventually those conversations take place because our youth want us to be involved in their lives. It was proven when I had those students over there at South Philadelphia High School, and they did not want to leave school. You know, they requested that I stay for another hour. It wasn't the other way around. It wasn't me requesting them. They requested for me to stay, and they requested for me to come out more. This is the end of the school year, time when students are saying, you know, grades are in, all the testing is done, we're not even going to come to school. And they're saying, man, listen, we need to see you at least one more time so we can set something up and build something. So we have to start, I think, honestly, we need to really take a serious look at who we can affect and who we can efficiently utilize to affect change because I'm tired of beating my head against the wall against these old Negroes who just refuse to give in. You know, grown men talking about basketball sneaks, video games, and so forth. I'm not saying I'm giving up on them. What I'm saying is they need to catch the wave as I pass them by to get to these children.
I hear that.
Absolutely. We spoke at lunch, Professor. When we spoke, and I said to you that people don't understand why is it I'm not looking for the big media mogul thing. I'm not looking to preach to the 99%. 99% means you got a bunch of stubborn old dogs not trying to learn new tricks. You got a bunch of people like our favorite St. Louis Stroll. We got quite a few people that don't want to see what's right in front of them. That, back to the topic, is deliberately deflecting from the elephant in the room. So, and 99% of people mean there's way too many people that's going to go their own way, too many possibilities of diversion. You get that one small group that can listen and get attention given and will watch. That will be your powerful base.
And that's
it, it's the people who's ready to have a sponge mind to absorb knowledge.
Because we are followers. And if they see someone, if they see a group of people that is doing something positive and we're getting some type of response, they'll jump on board just because. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because we are followers in that way. I've learned that about us as a whole. You know what I mean? Like one person wears two different color sneakers. Next week you see everybody wearing two different color sneakers. You know, so I learned that we are followers and we need to understand that all of this is part of the master plan, because what really brought it to my attention is because I've lived in East New York for most of my life. And when I finally got married and moved out of the area, I moved all the way to Flatbush out there by Avenue P, Flatlands and all of that. And, you know, I lived out there for about 7 to 8 years. And I noticed that while I was living out there, if I wanted to get me just a plain regular bottle of wine, I had to get on the bus and go all the way out towards King's Plaza to find a liquor store. So since me and my husband separated and I couldn't stay out there anymore because I was the only income, I had to come back to East New York, and it really hurts me because every freaking corner I turn, I see a damn liquor store and a bunch of black people standing in front of it.
Yeah.
Right.
So all of this is planted seeds. All of it, whether it's bad seeds, good seeds, whatever, it's still seeds and it's being planted, growing in a negative way in our community because they don't have that in their community. You understand? I've worked with a Jewish company. They got their own world over there. They shop with each other. They don't go outside of that realm. They buy their wigs from each other. They buy their stockings from each other. They buy their food from each other. Kosher stores all over the place. Clothing stores all over the place. Wig stores all over. They do not shop in no other area. That's how they keep their money generated in their community. Just like in Chinatown. That's we get on the boat. Let's go to Chinatown. Chinatown got their own world over there too, and they got their own banks, everything.
Yeah.
And their people spend their money with their people, and that's what we need to start doing because we are the brunt of the consumer, the level of consumption as far as money, as far as purchases and customers. We are the biggest consumers ever.
Yes.
If we just one day did not shop, if all black people kept their money in their pocket for one day, these people, they would lose so much money, it would make their head spin. But we don't look at it as a collective thing. We look at it as an individual thing, like Katie said earlier in the discussion. We look at it as our little $100. Just like I was talking to Katie earlier today, and I was like, you know what? Where's my penny? Give me my, it's 99 cents. Give me my damn penny. You know why? It's not the fact that it's only one penny. You doing that to 50 million people all day, every day. That's not one penny. You understand? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that is not one penny. And we be like, oh, it's just a penny. No, it's your penny, my penny, his penny, her penny, her penny. I demand. They keep it. If it's 99 cents and I give you a dollar, how the hell you going to look at me like you waiting on a penny? I sure am. It's mine.
I told you before, they'll hold you up in a supermarket line with one item, 10 coupons, and a bunch of change to pay for it. So we're the ones walking around going, I don't need. You guys, I've alluded to this example before. The sitcom Everybody Hates Chris. His mom, now you know they struggled. You know how behind closed doors, how Chris spoke about how they split this and they split that. And here was his mother. I don't need no food stamps. My man worked two jobs.
Yeah. And here's the irony real quick, Katie, and I know you're winding down. You know, I had a conversation with a brother this weekend. It was my cousin, and he's one of the people that got me into doing lecturing because he also does lectures down here in Philadelphia. And he said, you know, he broke something down to me that I hadn't, I mean, I thought about it, but, you know, it was in passing. He said, the reason why they have so many zombie movies out there nowadays is because they're talking about us. When you talk about these global elites that have these planning sessions and things of that nature, they look at us as several things, but the most thing, mostly they look at us as units. They look at us as useless eaters, and they also call us the walking dead or zombies. And that's the portrayal of all of these zombie movies that you see coming out today. It's all called predictive programming. It's all programming us for the reality that we're in and for the reality that we're getting into. And that's why people need to pay attention to these things. So I'm glad that you brought this to light today, because a lot of people will look at this in passing and not pay it any mind. And then the social engineers will say, good, that's exactly what we want them to do, because subconsciously they took that story in.
Absolutely.
The zombies, they must be the damn vampires, blood
stuff. That's right.
You want to know, I'll tell you the lore of vampires one day. You'll be shocked at how real it is.
No, I'm laughing, but I'm very serious, because that's all vampires do is suck your blood, suck your life out.
Dr. Amos Wilson has a lecture about that, where he says the relation of the white man to the black man in America is that of vampire to his victim. So, you know, but even when you guys are talking about buying our own, one other little nuance that I'll just mention real quick that I like to harp on is that we like to speak on our, and I might have said it before on the show, we like to speak on our $1 trillion spending power. We have over $1 trillion that we can buy with. Really think about that.
Collectively.
To have $1 trillion that somebody else is giving you to spend money on means that you're producing to the magnitude of maybe $10 or $15 trillion for somebody else. So it's a lot bigger than that $1 trillion of buying power we have. And when you start talking about establishing our own black business sector, you're talking about not just being able to spend $1 trillion on ourselves, but you're talking about being able to spend $1 trillion on ourselves as well as being able to produce multiple trillions of dollars for ourselves. And that becomes an exponential increase in our capabilities. And I just wanted to touch on that real quick. I know the show's about to end.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And as I said earlier, we have allowed ourselves or have been beaten into being in a broken, messed up state of being and as a community. So we are not going to be able to reach in and start up capital or do whatever. Even if we got past our own, you know, materialistic fears or, you know, materialistic loss fears. But we can't do that. We have not established ourselves now to have that backup savings account like our ancestors did or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we can do, and I actually said billion, you guys just knocked me to the side. We're in the $1 trillion bracket. Okay. So imagine if we could wind up spending $1 trillion and we can't even see $1 trillion in our minds on a table somewhere. We obviously have that.
They see it because they're getting it.
Right. No, see, that's the thing. We don't look at it at the overall accumulation. We look at what we can get now.
As individuals.
I've got Jordans on my feet now. I've got platinum gold on my neck and arms now. Everything that rappers allude to when they're speaking of success or trying to brag about who they are in their messages is
about bringing their girls up or bringing up. I got the rollie on my arm. I got this Jay-Z and Kanye West Otis. You know, I got two rollies over here. I've got this. I got my Lexus and the Nexus, you know, all this other stuff. This is what they project to us as if they say that that's what they have, that's the thing to get. They can't see it. So we are down, guys, to our last few minutes. I do have to sign off. Oh, my God, what a powerful panel is. What a powerful panel we've had today, including unexpected visitors. Fly Squad has worked really well. So what I will say is be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. I will see you guys here Friday night because tomorrow we'll be in archive. I thank you all very much for all that you do continue to do, for standing up, for standing behind me, for sharing and, you know, exponentially trying to make some moves out there. You know, like I said, I'll deal with the 1% out of the masses.
Yes.
I will.
I hear you.
Yes.
And I want to
thank you all. God bless you. Katie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. There's a new day coming, people listening. Out there,
yes,
there's a new day coming, so get ready.
I'm a creator shirt. People, stop chasing the dragon.
Good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.